Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My mom surprised me with this mic. That's why it's gold. It was for my birthday. She was like, oh, I'll give him a... So now she got different colors for everybody. So it just helps people know what is theirs. Amen. But I'm excited to be in the house of God. Anybody else excited to be here today? Amen. I'm excited about the children. When I first walked in, I was like, oh, I got to do some work. And we got it tightened up. Amen. But I just excited when kids want to use the gifts that God has for them. I'm really learning that in training kids up with their gifts, you have a lot of influence in their life. I had a basketball practice this week. And a lot of the kids went to the Storm game. But I only had my daughter, Markayla and Mariana, actually both of them, and a girl that plays on a team named Nene. And so we had a real three kids practicing. And I was like, what you learned today will set you apart from what the other kids are doing. And they were like, the girl Nene, she was like, I learned more today than any practice. And I was like, that's because there wasn't a lot of people. And we can concentrate on your gifts and your talents and making sure you are doing the right things. So I see how you can influence them in that, but also they start asking questions about you. And that's when you can pour into them what God has poured into you. Amen. I have a young man coming next week. He's trying to learn about making beats. And I've been praying to be able to actually start classes to teach youth how to do that. So he just came out of nowhere. I was at one of my friend's house. He was like, man, I'm trying to learn how to do it. So I was like, okay. So he's hitting me up on Facebook. Man, can we meet up this Saturday? Or I got to finish this track and I need your help. And I was like, yeah, man, whatever I can do to pour into him. And, you know, he's not a believer, but me being a believer can help change his life. Amen. So I just want us to find ways we can influence people. Amen. And that's not the message for today, but that was in my spirit. Amen. I'm going to talk about obedience, and that's been in my spirit for the last couple of weeks. I haven't preached for a couple of weeks, but I just felt obedience. I was reading in my devotionals the word obedience. Somebody else was saying something in obedience. And that's kind of how God speaks to you. The Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three, his word is established. Also, when Daniel was speaking to the king about his dreams, even Joseph was speaking to the king about Pharaoh about his dreams. He was saying it was twice so that you know that this was from God. So we get to see how God speaks. And he was speaking the word obedience. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get started. God, we glorify you and thank you, dear God, for this day. Dear God, we pray, dear God, that today your word would instill power into us. Dear God, it would give us the strength and the ability to be all that you have called us to be, dear God, that we listen to your word and walk in your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say, amen. So I think about obedience, and before I get into some of the scriptures, I really feel that, you know, I think we know that we should be obedient many times as believers, but just knowing is not enough, right? We know that we should pray, but we're like, well, God, I mean, God knows too, but if, you know, if I just take this time, I really got a lot of extra work I got to get done. My job is calling me. So instead of being obedient to God, we fall victim to being obedient to circumstances. Instead of finding ways to stay obedient to his word, we say, well, how can we be, what's the best word? Relatable to what's going on in the world today. How can we relate to And I remember my mom said something one time. She says, you can be so relatable to the world that you are no longer relatable to God. And that's dangerous. Right? So your obedience is, I say it like this, your obedience is the key to the blessing, but not just the blessing, but the purpose that God has for your life. Today I got up and I have been getting in the gym early Sunday mornings, trying to get rid of this extra weight that besets me. What's the Bible say? This extra weight, right? So I get in and I usually go do 45 minutes of cardio, but as I woke up this morning, God was like, don't go to the gym no more on Sunday. Just spend that time with me. He said, I heard him say it clearly. He said, physical fitness is good for some things, but spiritual fitness is beneficial for all things. So, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm not going. I don't know what he's going to save me from today, right? But I could have been like, oh, I'm tripping, right? God, you want me to be in good health, right? Even as my soul prospers, right? We can quote to scriptures. We can quote scriptures back to God when he tells us to do certain things and miss what he is saying. But he said, don't go. So I had to be obedient. I'm going to open up Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 19. And it says this. Therefore, and I'm in a New King James Version because I switched it yesterday for Precious. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to keep on going, but that already says obey his voice. Okay, do not harden your hearts. How do our hearts get hardened? You know, sometimes we think it's just like, oh, it's just automatic. Your heart's hard. You don't want to hear God no more. But it comes from the times where you didn't obey his voice. And you just continue to walk in disobedience. And as you walk in disobedience, it leads you to say, I think I know better than God. How did it happen with Pharaoh? We know that with Pharaoh, he said, first of all, Moses came back to Pharaoh and Moses said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is God? I am God. What are you talking about? I didn't say that. Right. So what we see is this was something that he practiced. They trained them up to be gods. So when somebody said something that wasn't him or it wasn't God like he was, he said, what are you talking about? He was trained in disobedience, right? And, you know, he was obedient to how they trained him, but it was against the will of God. Now, the crazy thing about the Pharaoh, and we always miss this, that when Joseph was there, they knew about God. They knew about the people of God. But it says that they forgot. Why did they forget? Maybe some people stopped testifying. And the Bible says we need to, as we gather together, let us not forget to exhort each other together in God. Let us share what he is doing in our lives so that the next generation doesn't miss it. There's nothing worse for you to be on fire for God and your children not, because they didn't hear or they haven't seen how God has changed and transformed your life. Now, I know everybody has their own walk with God, and I don't want to knock anybody whose kids are not walking in the way, but the more that you show them the way, the Bible says this, and we have to just trust that his word is true, that they will not depart when they get older. Amen. They might look like they're departing right now, but there may be a time where they are at home and they're like, I remember what my mama said. I remember what my dad said. I remember that they said that the word of God said this. See, it's not just enough for you to say it. Speak the word. I remember when we were watching Ariel, Precious' sister. That was a very trying time for me. Amen. But what I began to do is I began to put scriptures on the wall. Jeremiah 29:11. Every time she went to look at the mirror, because, you know, she would look at the mirror a lot. I put that scripture right there to the point where she knows that scripture now. right? And it changed, and it showed that I wasn't just trying to show her what to do. I was trying to let her know who God was so she can find her purpose. So as time goes on, now I can speak into her life because she saw that it wasn't just about obedience to me, but being obedient to the plans that God has for you. Amen. Somebody say obedience. So when you go through the trial, this is interesting because in the day of the trial in the wilderness, we don't realize that when the people, the Israelites, were in the wilderness, it was a trial. It was a test. And unfortunately, all but two of them failed that test. And there was no curve, right? The only they were left on the curb, but there was no curve. Because of their disobedience, because they walked in the ways of disobedience. Now, we can point fingers at those people, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, but we do the same thing. God has shown himself faithful, and then all of a sudden we're like, well, God, it would be cool if I can have what they have. That'd be a blessing. Without knowing how they got it. I had to catch myself this week. I kept seeing cars and houses, and this is why I can't watch HGTV all the time. Some of them houses is too nice, man. And you know, we live in Seattle, and that's we can't buy those houses for the same money. It's like, man, he got a 7-bedroom house for $200. What in the world? Where's that at? And what kind of salary he got? He's making, you know, I'm doing the same thing as him. And at times, if I'm not careful, I can be like, that's a blessing, but not knowing the blessing that I have. So instead of looking at, you know, and I like cars. I've always liked cars. I remember the very first time I saw an Escalade. I was on the way to O'Day High School with my dad, and I was like, what is that? I stopped. I was like, man, that was the first time I seen one. And I was like, man, I want to get one of those. So the funny thing is my son, you know, we talk about cars all the time, and every time we would drive by one, he was like, Dad, you want one of those, huh? And I was like, yes, son. And after a while, it got on my nerves. And I was like, listen, son, don't say that no more, okay? It would be great if I can get one, but I'll just wait on the Lord. So then what I started to do, I started being thankful for the things he has given. That's how you rebuke or disassemble being upset about what you don't have is by being thankful for what you do have. That changes your mindset. It changes your heart. So I just start saying, thank you, God. That was funny. Yesterday I was leaving and I saw a nice car and I was like, thank you, Lord, for the car that I have. And my wife was like, what did you see? Because I didn't tell her what it was. And I was like, what'd you think? She was like, I thought you said saw a woman or something. I was like, no. I'm thankful for you. But I was like, I don't want that spirit of wanting what somebody else has to lead me away. And what happened is that's what happened with the Israelites. They had a God that was a deliverer that delivered them from bondage. But after the deliverance, they went through trials. And now they said, I want bondage again. They saw what they had. Oh, man, those onions were looking good. The garlic, man, I mean, garlic and onions, and they might have stayed with God, I guess, right? But it was more than that. It was their hearts. Their hearts were left back there, reminiscing of the good things. And my dad calls it euphoric recall because they only remembered the good parts of slavery, right? They didn't remember all the times where they were crying and complaining and asking God to deliver them. They just remembered they ate something. But it says in verse 9, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. So not only were they being tested, they tried to test God. Therefore, God, he says, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. Somebody say hearts. I think your obedience starts with your heart. If your heart is not right towards God, you will not be obedient for long. Now, guess what? You can learn obedience for a little bit, right? You can fake it till you make it, But when times really get tough, how many know the fake, they're not there anymore? Right? You can fake it. But if your heart is not right, you will not be where God wants you to be. So my prayer is always, God, help my heart to be right so I can be obedient. My favorite scripture that I've been praying all the time is, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within. That's a prayer that I pray because, God, I want to be where you want me to be. Amen. Verse 10 says, therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Oh, well. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Beware that there's not an evil heart in you. How can we make our hearts right? We only can do that by accepting Christ. You can't. There's no cleaning of your spiritual heart that you could do on your own. You can't go through a drive-through cleaning, right? Can't go like a car wash and get your heart cleaned. But you have to say, God, I need you. And help me with my unbelief. That's what the man said to Jesus himself. Jesus asked him, do you believe? And, you know, instead of giving him the spiritual, yes, Lord, you know, I believe in your what you say. He said, I do, but even help me with the things I don't believe. This is part of obedience, because if God speaks something to us, even if it doesn't make sense to us, we should say, okay, God, I got you. I believe it. I don't know how it's going to work, but I will follow what you say. Even if it makes me look funny, I'm still going to do it.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
I've had conversations when I first stepped out to do full-time music ministry and pretty much entrepreneurship. There was times, man, it was very rough. And I remember talking to the people that have the loan on my home. And one day I'm going to get that. But anyway, they had the loan on my home. And they were like, when are you going to make the payment? And I told them clearly, I'm not sure, but God told me that he's going to make a way. Right? And, you know, I'm just saying stuff. And they like, wow. Like, I don't know what their reaction is going to be. But one time I said that and somebody said, well, look, bro, because you said it like that, I'm a delay this thing. And I was like, whoa, God. All right. Every time somebody called, hey, God's going to get it. Hey, man, I don't got it right now, but he going to get it. Do you believe? If you don't, you better believe now. But I seen God do things that I didn't understand because I was obedient. And I'm going to say, you might go through a wilderness experience, but because of your obedience to God, he will make a way. Amen. That's your blessing. Your blessing might not always be getting money or getting these other things. It's favor. God will give you favor in the midst of everybody else. When they got five people coming to get this job and you all have the same qualifications, you all went through the same type of school, they say, well, there was something about that person when I talked to that person. I can't even explain it. This is how the people in the world would say it. I don't understand it, but that's the part. It's just got to be that person. That's the favor of God. When you walk into the store and somebody, I remember Chamie and my brother Chamie, and he always prays for close parking spots. You know, I was like, brother, you can walk though, man. But he always prays for a close parking spot. And he's like, Lord, give us a parking spot. And I seen God do it. Person come right out. And he's like, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, I never started praying for parking spots. But I was like, wow, that's interesting. Because he has faith that God will do even that little thing. God will and God can. Amen. Verse 12 says, once again, beware. Somebody say, beware. Brethren, lest there be any of you with the evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, your obedience will keep you in God. Your disobedience will depart you from God. And, you know, I know we live in an age where some people think once saved, always saved. But I believe if your obedience leaves, I don't know if you are walking in what God wants you to walk in. Right now, I pray that you would return to the obedience. But if we look at obedience and disobedience, it was when Adam walked with God, he was obedient. When he got disobedient, he hid from God. Right. He's like, oh, God is coming. Whoa, God. And God was like, why are you hiding, son? Son, what are you doing? First of all, I see you. Right. But why are you hiding? And he wanted him to admit it was because of my disobedience. Your obedience will keep you in God. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another sometimes. Come on, get that up for me. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. That means every day, right? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So not only is it important for you to be obedient, but it's also important for you to exhort your brothers and sisters to walk in obedience. Okay? Especially those that feel like they've messed up. This last week, I was driving and I ran into one of my friends and I turned around and stopped because I haven't seen this person in a while. And I was like, bro, how you doing? And he was like, man, I need help. You know, and without getting into his situation, I just said, man, let's pray right here. Let's pray, man. And I prayed for him. We were listening to worship music. And he was like, hey, what is that? I need that. So I was like, here it is. And here's some more stuff you can listen to. And here's some scriptures that I'm going to speak over your life. And as I left, he texted me and was like, man, I felt the presence of God on you. And I needed that. You know, and I could have just drove by, right? We got things to do. But I stopped. Because I care about that brother. And some of us, sometimes we can get so consumed with our own schedules where we miss the care about our brethren or our sisterin or our brothers and sisters, our family, right? It's our job to exhort one another so that many will not fall to the deceitfulness of sin. Says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And let me finish this chapter. It says, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Those that will not enter his rest are those who don't obey. So we see that they cannot enter in because of their unbelief. Somebody tell your neighbor, be obedient. Once again, I said, your obedience is the key to your blessing and the purpose that God has for your life. I think about Abraham. I think if Abraham did not obey God when he told him to leave his father's, we would not have the great father Abraham that had many sons. His obedience was from walking with God and saying, okay, God, I'm going to leave. Where am I going? I'm not sure, but I'm going to allow you to lead me. Right? And God, I'm going to trust you that we're going to have a kid, even though Sarah's laughing about it because she's 100 years old. Right? And even their disbelief almost messed the whole thing up because they had Ishmael. And Ishmael could have messed the whole thing up, but he was just sent away, thank God. But I think about Moses. Moses heard God. He spoke with God at the burning bush, and he heard God, but he had qualifications, right? And he said, God, I'm not qualified for this thing. I can't even talk. Now, if you actually look back before when Moses was in Egypt, it said he was trained to talk. It said he was trained to lead, right? But because he had been in a quote-unquote wilderness or just running away from himself, he thought he wasn't qualified. And some of us do the same thing to God when he says, hey, brother, hey, sister, do this thing. And you say, God, I'm not qualified. And for us, that's the end of the conversation. I'm not going to do it, God. I'm not good enough. It would be good. You know, God, that, you know, Jimmy over there, he looks like he would be great for that. Right? We try to qualify other people, but guess what? God calls and qualifies those that he calls. Amen? I think about Joshua. What if Joshua said, look, we ain't going to walk around this thing for 7 days? 7 days? Man, look, I'm a warrior. I've killed people. I've asked the sun to be still, right? I mean, you know, that was afterwards, but I've went through so much stuff in a wilderness, and now you're telling me to wait 7 days. And that might have been fast for him. Who knows? But he could have said, I've been through this thing, but he said, look, God, I'm going to be obedient. And because of his obedience, God used him. I look at Esther. She could have been like, look, this has nothing to do with me. I'm already in here. I'm the queen. I'm not going before the king. I'm not going to risk my life for the Israelites. Right? See, this is the thing about your obedience. Your obedience is going to be met by fear. And I believe that fear is the opposite of faith. Okay? You can listen to what God says, and immediately when God speaks to you, fear will come and try to take away what God says. It makes you doubt what God is doing. But if you say, God, I'm going to believe, even if I don't see, I'm going to have faith and I'm going to be obedient. Esther was obedient. Spoke to the king, said, hey, come over. I got a dinner. I don't know what she made them, fried chicken or it could have been a stir fry. We don't know, right? But the king was like, whatever you want, you can have it, right? And she said, come back again. Whatever you want, you can have it. And he was like, she told him the plot of Haman trying to kill her people. And what did the king do? He hung Haman on the gallows that Haman created, right? And there's something in that. I always see that. And that's what I pray. I say, God, when people try to come do evil, let them be caught in their own snares. The same thing that they meant to harm us with, God, let them be trapped by that. Or let them repent. Hallelujah. Right? But as many as the people in the Bible that we see were obedient, we also see those that were disobedient. We see Saul, King Saul. King Saul is an interesting character to me. And I don't mean to say character like he's not real. He's an interesting person. Because King Saul prophesied with the prophets. He was connected to God. But because of the people, he even said it, because of fear of the people, I disobeyed the word of God. And it said because of that, the kingdom was taken from him. And in his disobedience, he wanted to try to even kill the next king, David. He spent so much time trying to harm David because his disobedience, to the point where he had an evil spirit, and the only way it can get removed was somebody that was obedient. See, I don't think it was just that David played good music. It was his obedience that created the anointing. Your anointing doesn't come from just being good. It comes from being obedient. Amen. I look at Solomon. He started out great. God what God asked him, what do you want? He said, I don't want riches. I just want wisdom. And God said, because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you these things. But his wisdom led him to too much. Somebody say way too much. All right. So what began to happen is he saw beautiful women and married them, and he had 700. He had 1,000 altogether, right? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Just imagine that. Yeah, that's too much. Too much. Okay. But what began to happen for this brother is he began to worship the gods that they worshiped. Because we know that the word of God says in the New Testament, now he didn't have the New Testament, but the word of God says that you will become one with when you are married, right? And what began to happen is he became one with them in spirit, and their spirits were different. And actually, he was warned not to marry these women by the elders, but he was disobedient. Then we see Solomon's sons, and I couldn't remember which one was which one, but you had Rehoboam and Jeroboam, right? Don't name your kid something with a bomb at the end. That's a lesson for today, right? No, I'm just playing. But these two sons were, because of Solomon's disobedience, the kingdom was split, and these kings began to just act ignorance. One of them was asking the elders, what should I do in this reign? And he didn't listen to the elders. I think this was Rehoboam. He didn't listen to the elders, but he went to his colleagues. He went to his homeboys, his homies, and said, hey, you know what? You know, those old people, they don't know what they're talking about. Yo, look, I'm the king now. What should I do? And they told him, make your thumb be as strong as your father's thigh, which meant he was going to put the burden on the people even harder than what his father did. Now, Solomon, in all his array, all the great things he did, he caused a lot of people to be in bondage. And that was actually spoken by the prophet Samuel when he said, when they are going to have a king, he's going to take the best of your people and make them slaves. He's going to take the best of your flock, the best. But they said, no, 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 we want a king because everybody else has one. Their disobedience led to a disconnect. I'm gonna jump down to James chapter 1. Verse 22 through 25, and it will be done for today. But tell your neighbor, be obedient. Tell your other neighbor, be obedient. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, and it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. It doesn't stop there, but it says, if you just hear, you deceive yourself. Now, how many people know a lot, but because they don't put it into application, they deceive themselves? Right? It's dangerous to know too much information and not apply it. I don't know about you. Have you ever been around somebody that says, oh, yeah, I know. And it's just they know everything, but they haven't did anything. And it's like, look, man, I'm not going to listen to you. Right. At least show me what you know. Show me something. Right. It's dangerous when you're around those people because they'll tell you everything, how to live your life. And you're like, bro, I don't think you really know. You just gathered a lot of information. Don't let us gather information about God, but not do what his word says. It says verse 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Your obedience will be the blessing to the purpose that God has for your life. You can hear God's word, but until you obey it, until you follow it, you will not become what God wants you to become. And I think as we live in this day and age, we see this is the information age. Because anything you can find out with Google, right, for the most part, might not always be the right answer, but Google will give you an answer. So you can get information. I was listening to a radio show the other day. They were talking about encyclopedias. We don't even have those no more, right? Some of us might have them in our house, but for the most part, encyclopedias are like gone. And dictionaries, because you have them on your phone now, right? But now we have so much information at our fingertips, but it does us no good to know, oh, you can eat healthy, and then we say, oh, well, I don't really want to eat healthy today, right? All right, or if you eat this, it's better for you. Ah, don't taste that good, right? But we also have the Word of God at our fingertips, and we read it, and we're like, ah, that was good for back then. You know, I don't know how old was James when he wrote this Bible? What year was it? You know, and if we let science tell it was 2 billion years ago, right? But we have to be obedient to God's word. That makes a difference. And as, like I said, this was in my spirit, and I want to encourage us to be obedient as we walk in God. With all the different things that will be coming, God is going to see your obedience. And the great thing is he will reward you. And it might not just be on earth, but it will be on heaven, be in heaven. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that your word would, like I said earlier, dear God, give us strength, dear God, that it would empower us, dear God, that we would want to walk and be doers of your word and not just hearers only, God. Dear God, I pray to God that you would speak to our hearts. Dear God, I pray to God that any of us whose hearts have been disobedient, dear God, that you will wash away disobedience, that you would cleanse us, oh God, so that we can walk and know you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Praise the Lord. I think that God's word can always be impactful to us, and we have to allow his word to lead us. Amen. All right, we have snacks in the foyer. We are dismissed. But before I say that, my brother JJ, he came today again to help us out. I always tell my wife when I preach, I don't never get videos or nothing because my kids are downstairs and Precious got another kid in her hand. So, but he's almost walking, y'all. I told him he better walk today, and I'm praying that he be obedient. Hallelujah. Amen. But God bless you. We have snacks in the foyer. We love you guys. God bless.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.